Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stoker the Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoker the Beer Radio Show. Stoker the Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stoker the Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We cover NBA, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, NCAA men's and women's sports. We cover pie-eating contests, hot dog-eating contests, horse racing, camel racing, mud wrestling, bare-knuckle boxing, UFC. Anything that comes across the monitor as a sport, we will cover it. If we don't know about it, you can call in and teach us about it. If you don't know about our topics, we can kind of teach you about the sport that we're talking about. All right. Being said, our topic for today is going to be NBA trade deadline, episode one. NBA trade deadline predictions, episode one, is the topic for today. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include, but not limited to, episode topic, which again is NBA trade deadline predictions, episode one, NBA trades and predictions, NFL Super Sunday, Super Bowl, NCAA men's and women's, NHL and MLB scores, and breaking news. All right. We're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC. That's WBS in Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:06 a.m. It is 51 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny here in San Diego, California. All right. If you'd like to call in, just call in the area code 515-602-9687. Call in 515-602-9687. All right. Let's get off into these trade deadline predictions. We got a lot of stuff going on around the sports world when it comes down to the NBA trade deadline is coming up on Thursday, February 9th. I believe that the trade deadline is 3 p.m. Eastern. It's 3 p.m. Eastern. So for us on the West Coast, by noon Thursday the 9th, we'll know who's going where, leading into the All-Star break, on into the second half of the season. So it's an exciting time for all you basketball heads out there. Right now, it's not a, even though this is a football talk show, pretty much, we give each season its just due. We give each season its just due. I'd be the first one to tell you that I'm the biggest hockey fan, but hockey is, you know, a sport that I have an interest in, and it does have a place in the major U.S. market. It's the top four sports, so I try to at least cover the breaking news and the scores. Same thing with basketball. I'm a little bit more interested. I'm sorry, not basketball, but same thing with baseball. I'm a little more interested in baseball because it is more of a U.S. sport, America's pastime. So I'm a little bit more interested in that, but I'm not a savant in it. I'm not a savant in it, but I do make sure I get the scores up and breaking news as well. And excited about season coming up here for the San Diego Padres and seeing how far we can get now that we'll have our star Tyler Jr. back. But segueing back over into the NBA trade deadline predictions, episode one. A lot of news across the monitor. You know, they're saying that there was media experts evaluating. Was Josiah wrong? Was he wrong for basically saying that he was not going to send Kyrie Irving where he wanted to go? One of the experts said, how I saw it yesterday, I'm just like, Josiah didn't owe Kyrie Irving anything. Kyrie Irving and Josiah's relationship, when it comes down to the Brooklyn Nets, did not go the way that it was predicted to go. They were predicted to be a championship team. No championship came. They were predicted to have Kyrie Irving available. He was not available like they would have liked him to be for whatever reason. That's Kyrie Irving's personal business. You know, he wasn't available a lot of the times. But, however, you know, when it all comes down to it, it just didn't work out the way that the front office and Josiah being an owner thought that it would work out. So the media experts were saying that Josiah was right. Like I said yesterday, he was right for sending Kyrie Irving to Los Angeles. He didn't say that he didn't want Kyrie to end up in Los Angeles. He just said that he on this train he won't be able to on the train leaving Brooklyn going straight to L.A. He's going to have a layover in Dallas, and then in Dallas, the arrangement he needs to make from Dallas. What he said was, I'm going to fly him to Dallas. I'm going to let him ride the train down south to Dallas, and then in Dallas, he can buy him another ticket to wherever he wants to go, or whatever deal he makes with his new ownership, his new boss. They can make that deal
to get him to L.A. But as far as me being the current boss, I'm going to send him down to Dallas. I'm gonna ride my train down to Dallas, and then we're going to drop him off in Dallas. And then what he wants to do from that point, all points west, he can make his own arrangements. So I don't feel bad that Joe Tsai said, no, I'm not sending him all the way to L.A. at my cost. No. And some people are saying, was Joe Tsai being petty? Yeah, he might have been a little sour, a little funky. You know, it's okay. You know how it go in these relationships, and these relationships don't work out, the other party ain't happy about the way things went. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. This is business. It is what it is. We're supposed to have our number one sports contributor, DC, calling in, possibly at the top of the hour. He has some stuff he got to do this morning, but I'd definitely like to get him on the air along with any other pro armchair quarterbacks to call in and debate me or correct me about anything that I'm talking about. If anyone is listening and my sound is not coming in correctly, I'm trying some new audio techniques and performance techniques. So hopefully I'm coming in loud and clear to you. I'm trying to get it to where I don't have a lot of static and pop and stuff like that in the broadcast. But we'll be getting some new equipment in here and stuff like this here soon. I see a blessing coming through to where I can upgrade all my equipment and have a top-notch studio and everything like that. But just let me call into the show at 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. If you want to comment if my audio is not coming in clearly, at the same time, if you want to debate me or correct me, definitely call into the show so we can get your own air and state your bold opinion. But anyway, going back to what I was saying a minute ago, Joe Tsai was basically just saying to the public that I wasn't sending Kyrie where he wanted to go. He underperformed while he was in Brooklyn. He didn't deliver us a championship like we designed this team to be a champion team. How do you not get a championship with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Ben Simmons, and then supporting cast like Seth Curry? Now they got Claxton. He's playing good ball up there in Brooklyn now. Joe Tsai in the front office is saying, with the stars that we had on the team on two different situations, first it was Durant, Irvin, Harden. That didn't work. Harden got tired of the Kyrie situation, Kyrie taking the personal days off and all this stuff and not being available. He said he went out. He got out. They got Ben Simmons back in return. Ben Simmons came over. They can say damaged goods, mentally challenged as far as his performance on the court offensively. He didn't play the first season he was there. Then now this year he's available. Durant was available. Kyrie Irving's available. Third in the East. And Kyrie wants out when they're so close to winning the championship. Finally, y'all were third in the East. Excuse me, people, I curse on my show. But how the heck are you trying to get out of this contract now and be traded because I won't give you a long-term deal? You haven't shown me enough yet. So Joe Tsai was like, until I trust you, we're going to finish out the season and we'll sit down and renegotiate. Maybe I'll give you a little bit in the offseason or whatever. We'll work out a little something in the offseason, but I need at least two seasons of you showing me that you're going to be available to us. I need you to show us that you're my guy. I need you to show me that this is your team, or at least half of your team, along with you and KD. I need you to show me that this is y'all team and that y'all going to be available to me. You can't be taking days off. You can't be, see something on the news and decide, I'm going to get into my head and go off and meditate and, do like Aaron Rodgers do and drink some Hiawatha tea and all this different stuff to get my head right. Joe Tsai don't want to hear all that. He's like, I need you available to come into work every day like I do. I need you up in the office and going to work like I do every day. People don't understand. They're playing in the Barclays Center. The Barclays Center is backed by a lot of European banking money. The Barclays is a European banking financial system in Europe. I learned this taking my courses in the fundamentals of global sports management by NYU. Go look it up. But anyway, the Barclays is the stadium itself is a big deal. Oh yeah, the Barclays was a stadium that we used to do all our our school work. You know, to do partnerships and signage and all kind of stuff in the Barclays Center. Yes, virtually. So I'm familiar with the Barclays Center. The Barclays Center was not built to not have a championship or team in there. The Brooklyn Nets was supposed to be a championship team led by one such Kyrie Irving. And I say led by Kyrie Irving because Kevin Durant, he just wants to hoop. He's not interested in being the leader. He's not interested in being the alpha dog. He just want to be a good teammate and hoop. He don't want the burden on his shoulders. I believe a lot of times that's why Kevin Durant out of Oklahoma City, because he was just like, you know, I can't deliver by myself. I need someone else to take the load, not just be a support cast. And I think, you know, Kevin Durant is not that leader type of guy, that alpha dog. I believe Kyrie Irving is. And so that, you know, Josiah wasn't giving him no long-term extension because he wasn't capable of coming to work every day. So I'm not mad at Josiah. If I got an employee that won't work every day, that uses all his sick days at will, or then goes and get doctor's notes saying that, oh, well, you know, due to COVID-19 or whatever, or the COVID-19 protocol, I'm not going to be able to come to work today because I got an issue with the COVID-19 policy or whatever the case may be. I'm just kind of like using this as a somewhat of an example when you're bringing in sick notes to the boss every day. Kyrie Irving conveniently said that he wasn't coming to work because he wasn't taking the COVID-19 test, and they wouldn't allow you to play ball in New York if you didn't have your vaccination. And Josiah looking at it like, you want me to give you a long-term contract extension, but anytime a pandemic or epidemic come up and you got to be vaccinated to play or vaccinated to participate and entertain these fans, you won't show up to work because you're against putting certain stuff in your body. But with the amount of money that we're paying you, you got to do just, I mean, you should be able to make a, you know, take the risk because the common man got to take the risk today. If the common man, they say you can't come to work unless you get vaccinated, and the common man got to say, okay, if it's kind of putting food on my children's table, I'm going to have to take the risk and go on and get the shots and pray that everything going to be all right because that's what you call the law. The law stipulates that you can't be in public places without the vaccination. So, I mean, sometimes it's about your local government. That's what it is. If they say you got to play wearing a mask, and you say, I'm against wearing a mask. Well, that's what the local ordinance says you got to do. So, anyway, with that being said, we're going to take a break here and while the late night dog gets him some more coffee. If you'd like to call into the show and talk about NBA trade deadline predictions, NBA trade deadline predictions. If you want to call in and give your predictions about where the pickups and the moves that'll be taking place all week up until Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. If you want to talk about what you think that your favorite players are going to, what moves your favorite team are going to make by the trade deadline, please call in to area code 515-602-9687. Just raise your hand in queue. I'll come to you. When I come to you, just state your first initial, last initial, and in the state that you're calling in from. First initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling in from, and then we'll kindly let you say your piece. All right, we're going to go off into a quick music mix, and we'll be back. Stand by. Thank you.
All right, all right. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live on the radio show. I'm trying to get my mix down with this new jazz format that I'm, that I'm using, so bear with me. It'll take me a little bit. I have my mix down a little bit smoother. My mix is the way this board is set up. It's all about timing. I'm going to see if I can download my jazz music link into my studio switchboard. I'll do that after the show, and then hopefully tomorrow my mix will be a little bit smooth. I can control everything right off of my mixing board, but right now I'm using an outside source to control my music. That's why I was asking for an audio engineer. On Craigslist, I have a post for an audio engineer to come in and a smooth jazz DJ, audio engineer / smooth jazz DJ, and no one's answered that call yet. But I did have someone call in and said that they wanted to be a news desk editor, but my news desk director, but they have not took the opportunity to come on the show yet. So you know, we do what we can on our own. Across the monitor, they're saying talking about LeBron James, he's about, I guess, tonight he could actually pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the highest score in the NBA history. So that record has stood for 34 years, and I'm excited to see tonight they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, Thunder at the Lakers tonight 8 Eastern, or tonight 10 Eastern, Thunder at Lakers tonight 10 Eastern. Article tell difference in scoring record between Kareem and LeBron. How much fanfare do you expect when LeBron breaks the record? How much fanfare do you expect when LeBron breaks the record tonight? This tonight he can break the record. Thunders are going to be at the Lakers, so he'll be at home playing at home tonight, 10 Eastern, and LeBron should either tie or pass up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 34-year standing record of the highest score in the NBA history. So tonight, that record is supposed to be broken. I will be tuned in. Yours truly will be tuned in to watch that game tonight, because that's going to be big. That's going to be big. He's going to break the captain's record tonight in most cases. He has 43 points to break the record. So it's going, history can be made tonight, and I believe it will be. He'll be ready to do it. He'll be home, and I think he wants this to happen at home, because him as a Laker, it would be fitting. He's a Laker. He's brought a title to Hollywood, and breaking the captain's scoring record that's been standing for 34 years amongst all NBA teams and players. LeBron James can break the captain's record tonight. So I'm excited about it. I'm hoping that you guys are excited about it. And, yeah, good stuff, good stuff. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And we're just talking about NBA trade deadline predictions. And this is episode one. And we'll be doing this Tuesday, Wednesday, up to Thursday. So we'll have three episodes. Well, we'll have two episodes today and tomorrow of NBA trade deadline predictions. And on Thursday, we'll actually have the NBA trade deadline results. So we'll do it just like that. And so, yeah, we'll have NBA trade deadline results on Thursday morning. Up to that, of course, they will still have, it'll still be, when I go off air, they'll still have about two more hours
to complete the trade. Hopefully by that time everything will be wrapped up. Most teams already have all their trades in and everything like that. And if you got to wait around to the last minute, you probably wasn't trying to make a trade anyway or shake things up on your team anyway. So hopefully we'll be right. We won't be 100% accurate when we say trade deadline results on Thursday, but we'll be, I think we'll be pretty darn close. Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited and everything like that. I'm also excited about this new format that I'm going to. I'm starting to do next week. I'll start having my craft beer and custom cigar segment to where I'm going to be announcing a brand new craft beer every week and then a new custom cigar every week. And this is the Stogies & Radio Show. So I'm all about smooth jazz, craft beer, and custom cigars. I'm a new feel for listeners about 40 and above. 40, my audience and caster is listeners and sports contributors that are age 40 to 65. However, if you're younger than that and you want to still call in and talk about the sports you love, feel free to, as long as you can just deal with the way we get down in the vibe of this show. I was doing a lot of hip-hop, but I really didn't have the artists wanted to come in and take part in the entertainment portion of the show. So, you know, as I just said, I'm going to just go to what this show is more intended to be, more of a smooth jazz vibe, custom cigars, you know, craft beer, aristocrat vibe, a man of leisure vibe. I like to look at myself as a man of leisure that like to kick back, have a cold beer, have a cigar, listen to some smooth jazz. You know, I'm kind of a smooth guy like that. So hopefully this new format catches on. I'm going to be doing some advertising on our local jazz station here in San Diego at San Diego City College. I'm going to be doing some advertisement on their format and trying to get some more listeners involved in some of the artists that they promote. Maybe they'll send some tracks to me to play on the show, you know, if they want to, you know, break some music on my show. But, you know, we'll see. You know, this show is broadcast globally, and jazz is a global sound. So we'll see how it works out. But anyway, back to NBA trade deadline predictions. Tonight, again, LeBron James is going to be playing tonight to break the captain's record, the captain meaning Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's going to break Cap's record tonight in most cases. I think he only needs about, you know, 40-something points, 43 points, I think they said. So that you know, LeBron can easily put up 40-something tonight. All they got to do is keep beating him. But if it doesn't happen tonight while he's at home, maybe it'll happen somewhere else on the road. But, I mean, I think in the next two games, he's definitely going to break that record. It's just inevitable at this point. We got a whole half of the season still to play. It's inevitable that he won't break Cap's record. And Cap has passed the torch on greatly on TV. He's announced, he's said on TV that, you know, he's happy LeBron James deserves it and all that good stuff. He wasn't sour. I think in the media, some of the experts have always been saying that LeBron James and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't have the best relationship when it comes down to social activism. But I guess they've gotten past that. I guess Cap probably said, well, everybody can't be me. But he did acknowledge that LeBron James has done some great things off the court, definitely when it comes down to education for children. You know, he has that I Can Academy, if I'm correct. So I mean, this big right there. Man built his own school. He's the principal or the dean of his own school, however it goes. And that's great. You know, that's awesome. You know, giving opportunities to children, underprivileged children, if I'm correct. A lot of black and brown kids, if I'm correct. Definitely, I think it had a mission for definitely inner city, I believe, African-American kids, if I'm correct. And then I'm quite sure, you know, when it comes down to minorities, I'm quite sure all minorities would be welcome. But with that being said, looks like the cap, based on what I'm seeing on the monitor, the captain has passed the torch on to LeBron James, gave him his blessing, and saying, you know, he understands that record has been standing for 34 years. It was time for somebody to break it, time for history to happen and somebody else to accomplish the same goal. or accomplish the same thing. I won't say goal because LeBron James said it was never his goal to be the highest scorer. I think LeBron James, based on what I was hearing, his attitude has always just been to make everybody else around him better, meaning he want to feed people the ball, get people involved, and then, you know, he'll get his as well. So it just kind of like happened that way that, you know, he passed Magic. What did he do? Tied Magic Johnson or passed Magic Johnson for all-time assists. And then he also is going to break the scoring record that Cap set that's been standing for 34 years. And that's going to happen tonight in most cases, that that scoring record will be broken tonight at the crypto.com center. So anyway, time on deck is 8:34 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this is Stogies and Beer Radio Show with your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And we're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST. Before I get off into some scores, I want to check the monitor to see what else is out there for us to banter on about. I'm just checking the monitor, seeing what's coming up on the monitor and everything like that. But I don't see anything right now, so we'll get off into some quick NBA scores. In NBA news last night, we had the Celtics won over the Pistons, 111-99. Celtics beat the Pistons, 111-99. The Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Washington Wizards. Cleveland Cavaliers, 114, Washington Wizards, 91. The Clippers defeated the Brooklyn Nets. Clippers, 124, Nets, 116. Paul George had 29 points. I believe they said Kawhi Leonard had 24 points. Thomas had 47 points for the Nets. I think it's Cam Thomas. They were Cam Thomas 40 point performance and a loss to the Clippers. I'm trying to see if Kevin Durant played in that game last night. Because remember, y'all, this is a key point, and we'll get to this in a minute. I stated yesterday I wanted to know how KD was feeling about all this trade stuff going on, Kyrie Irving leaving and everything like that. And I was like, if I see KD start to kind of like sulk a little bit, I got an injury, you know, I'm not playing. You know how it is. It's like, you know, like how AD did when he wanted out of New Orleans. He kind of like just made himself unavailable until they traded him and just gave him what he wanted. Then they gave in and he was in L.A. I see Kevin Durant pulling one of these moves. He didn't play last night, in my opinion. I got to check it to see if that's factual. But obviously, if he didn't play last night, maybe something was wrong. Maybe something was wrong. Because I think, but then I don't want to be incorrect because I think they were saying he had some kind of injury. So I just got to go check my notes. I don't know if Kevin Durant has been out, but I thought he had been playing. But he could have been on the bench already. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, Cam Thomas had 47 points last night since Kyrie Irving has left. And the media experts were saying that Cam Thomas is probably going to have more nights like that because he's getting the ball more. He's getting more minutes now that Kyrie has moved on and parted ways with the Brooklyn Nets. So we'll see what happens with that. But going back into my NBA scores, we had the Spurs lost to the Bulls. The Bulls defeat the Spurs 128-104. Chicago Bulls over the San Antonio Spurs, 128-104. Chicago Bulls take that one. The Sacramento Kings won last night. Sacramento Kings, 140. Houston Rockets, 120. Sacramento Kings, 140. Defeat the Houston Rockets, 120. And the Dallas Mavericks won last night, 124. Over the Utah Jazz, 111. Dallas Mavericks take that one. Dallas Mavericks, 124. Defeat the Utah Jazz, 111. And Dallas has not got Kyrie on the court yet, but that's supposed to happen tomorrow night. That's supposed to happen tomorrow night. Hardy for the Dallas Mavericks had 29 points. Kessler for Utah had 13 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Golden State Warriors won one last night. Golden State Warriors improved to a 28-26 record. Golden State Warriors 141 over the Oklahoma City Thunder 114. And the Thunder are currently 3 games below .500 going into the All-Star break. Golden State Warriors again 141 over the Oklahoma City Thunder 114. Giddy for the Thunder had 15.7 rebounds, 8 assists, and Thompson and Klay Thompson for the Golden State Warriors had 42 points last night. Good game for Klay Thompson. Klay stepped up in the absence of Steph Curry. Steph Curry is going to be out for a few weeks with this leg injury. Saying he tore some ligaments in his leg on Saturday night when he bumped legs or bumped knees with a player from the other team. So anyway, Klay Thompson splashes 12 threes, scores 42 points in a Warriors win. Klay Thompson splashes 12 threes, scores 42 points in a Warriors win. So it's good to see Klay stepping in. You know, that's one thing about the Golden State Warriors. You got your big three, which is Green, Thompson, Curry. If Curry is out, then you got Green and Thompson can do the thing. If Thompson is out, you got Green and Curry can do the thing. And then, you know, they got that great supporting cast around them that can step up and get hot at any time. Like guys like Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Wiseman, you know, Wiggins. You got all these different players around them that's coming off the bench that can contribute as well. So I'm not really worried too much about Steph Curry being out. It may affect them three-peating. It may affect them repeating for another championship, him being out due to how long he'll be out. But I don't see no reason to rush him back. Maybe sometime after the All-Star, let that injury heal up. As long as they get him, I think, in the last quarter of the season, they'll be okay. Because one thing about it, Klay Thompson is still deadly. And then you got, like I said, you got the Jordan Pools and all the other support players that can come off the bench. I believe they got DeVincenzo. You know, he's on the team as well. So I see them being okay until Steph Curry gets back. Last we got the Bucks won over the Trailblazers 127-108. Bucks won 127 over the Trailblazers 108. Giannis, 24 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. Again, Giannis had 24 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists for the Bucks. And Damian Lillard, he put up 28 points last night. In a loss against the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, the Milwaukee Bucks took it 127-108. Let's see in NBA action who we got tonight. Tonight on Tuesday night. See who's going to be playing tonight. We're going to have the Knicks and the Magics. Knicks are currently 3 games above .500, 29-26. And the Magic are 22-32. Magic are 22-32, 10 games below .500. So players to watch in that game will be Julius Randle, 24.7 points, 10 rebounds, you know, 4 assists. So Randle's numbers are 24 points a game, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. And then for the Magic, they got Pablo Banchero. He's 20 points a game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists on average. So that's going to be a good one. I'm thinking that Banchero is going to have to hold Randle and vice versa. So we'll see what happens with that one. Maybe we'll get our number one sports contributor, DC, on the air today to talk about what the predictions of that game. At the same time, we got tonight as well. Look like these games are all starting about 4 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. All these games will probably be going from 7, starting up about 7 p.m. Eastern down to 10 p.m. Eastern. So this block I'm talking about, again, is going to be from different networks from 7 p.m. Eastern time to 10 p.m. Eastern time on the West Coast, 4 p.m. Eastern time to
to, let's see, 4 p.m. Eastern Time to 7 p.m. Eastern Time for us West Coast people. All right. We got also the Suns and the Nets going at it tonight. Suns and the Nets going at it tonight. We'll see how that works out. We got the Hawks and the Pelicans going at it tonight. Hawks and the Pelicans going at it tonight. We got the Bulls and the Grizzlies tonight. Bulls and the Grizzlies. We got Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Timberwolves and the Nuggets. We got Thunder and the Lakers. Thunder and the Lakers tonight. Of course, in that game, Thunder's at the Lakers. We're looking at LeBron James breaking the captain's record that's been standing for 34 years. The captain, meaning Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, having the record as the highest scorer in NBA history. That record has stood for 34 years. And tonight, LeBron James is actually looking to pass the captain up. And the captain has graciously passed on the torch to LeBron James. And I've seen across the monitor, based on his statements and everything, he's graciously saying that he's happy for LeBron and that it's time for somebody to break the record and set the bar for the next generation. That's pretty much what I'm getting from the captain. But at the same time, notes for the Suns and the Nets tonight, trying to see if Durant is going to be available tonight against the Suns, you know. And as far as the Suns go, you know, the word is that they were looking at trading some picks and CP3, Chris Paul, is looking at trading him off to try to get in the Kyrie Irving sweepstakes. So across the monitor, the experts are asking, is Chris Paul salty about them putting him up on the trade block behind his back without discussing it with him? You know, trying to put together a package to bring Kyrie Irving to Phoenix, and I'm sending Chris Paul on to Brooklyn to play with Kevin Durant. But I'm gonna be honest with you, Chris Paul could still be up on the trade block, because if Durant starts looking at this thing like he was in the offseason this summer, he might be asking for a trade. I kind of predicted that sometime today it will be breaking news that Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn. He's going to want out of that dumpster fire. They're currently number three in the East, if I'm correct, as of today. But it's a possibility Kevin Durant might just say, hey, man, I just want to cut bait. I just want to cut bait, get to the West Coast. And I think the three destinations that Kevin Durant will most desire would be the Phoenix Suns, the LA Clippers, Los Angeles Lakers, those three. I would say more like his number one team he would want to go to is the LA Clippers, number two team, Phoenix Suns, and number three team, LA Lakers. I could see any one of those happening in any given order. That's just my order. Kevin Durant, I'm predicting at some point, breaking news, at some point before the trade deadline, breaking news, Kevin Durant is going to the LA Clippers to play with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Second pick will be second option, the Phoenix Suns. And that's going to put Chris Paul back on the top block, on the trade block. And then third option would be the LA Lakers. So he can team up with LeBron James. Now, they were also saying that LeBron James, if he really wanted a championship, he should have forced his way out of LA. Force his way out of L.A. And then have them bring Kyrie over to L.A. And he goes to Brooklyn and join Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, you got a shooter over there in Steph Curry. And then you got LeBron James all in Brooklyn. Definitely could have challenged for an Eastern Conference championship. I can see that happening. But it's a lot of stuff going on, people. It's a lot of stuff going on. Pelicans and the Hawks. Pelicans are currently 28-27, one game above 500. So we'll see what happens with that right now. Looks like C.J. McCollum is carrying the load for us until Zion Williams get back, and then until Brandon Ingram, who's just recently returned, gets back into top form. Notes from the Grizzlies and the Bulls. The biggest thing with the Grizzlies and the Bulls is that the media experts are saying that maybe
they need to bring Zach LaVine over to L.A., make some kind of deal for Zach LaVine to come over to L.A. And join LeBron James, and maybe that'll give them a better chance at contending, you know, for trying to fight for the play-in tournament. The other notes in that game is Ja Morant with the Grizzlies. The media experts are saying something about Ja Morant has this yearning to have this image of being a gangster. I don't know if that's true or not, because I'm not in Ja Morant's head, and I don't run with Ja Morant's crew. What I have been seeing a lot is his father being there. I think his father and maybe his daughter in a lot of the games, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, father-son bonding, father-daughter bonding, father-daughter and grandfather bonding. That's a great thing. But when you add the component of the, well, outside of that, if you have a component of bringing a lot of the homeboys, a lot of your partners that, you know, in that life out there in the streets, you start bringing them to the game, you know, it could be a bad look. I think the NBA is trying to say that some of these guys, they're going to start banning some of his crew from coming to the game. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're doing something illegal or if they're threatening, but I mean, if they're just at the game, watching the game, I don't know what the NBA could do security-wise to ban those guys from coming to the game. I mean, if his crew is just coming and watching the game, I don't really see the problem, so I really don't understand what's the big deal. But I just always say watch the company that you keep. Keep your personal relationships out of the public. Keep your personal relations in the private. That way people don't know who you're dealing with. Because, you know, our African-American athletes, we always get judged. We always get judged by the company that we keep. You know, these could just be his friends from home that were in that life, but he was never in that life. They probably kept him out that life. It probably held him down some kind of way, protected him, you know, and things like that when he was coming up. And maybe he just want to, you know, pay them back by letting them come to some of the home games. And, you know, but you know, a lot of this stuff is always looked down upon. But anyway, they're saying across the monitor, what should the Nets do with Kevin Durant? What should the Nets do with Kevin Durant? Trade him. They should trade him. The Nets trade Kyrie Irving to the Mavericks. What should the Nets do with Kevin Durant? That's the million-dollar question that I've been asking. I see Kevin Durant wanting out of Brooklyn. I see him wanting out. You know, if you'd like to call in and talk about that and anything else coming across the monitor that's considered a sport, call in to 515-602-9687. But before I go, I want to finish my thought on Ja Morant, though. I think that we're getting – that we and all us sports contributors, whether you're a pro armchair quarterback, whether you're a media expert at whatever level, highest level down, we got to be careful about judging people by the company that they're keeping in public. Like I said, Ja Morant, I think it's a beautiful thing. I've never seen it before, but his father seems like he attends, I guess, at least every home game. I see him on the side of the court a lot. So I'm like, you know, his father and him has a great bond from what it looks like to me. And then I remember them in the NBA draft when they had the fathers and the parents out there with the athletes, which was a beautiful moment for a lot of those young men. The parents had supported them all their lives, high school, college, or high school going straight to pro, whatever the case may be. They had the parents up there with all the athletes. And I think they did that. Now, I don't know if they did it this past draft, but I know the draft, like two drafts ago, that happened, I think, when Ja Morant came out. And I remember, I think his father said something about he was, he had basketball dreams, but he wound up having a kid, meaning he had to do the things that men need to do, meaning go to work to take care of his kid. So his basketball experience got put on hold. However, he's living his basketball dream, you know, right along with his son's accomplishments. That's a beautiful thing. And plus, I see his daughter out there a lot too, if I'm correct. And so it's a beautiful thing. But now everybody's attacking Ja Morant on saying that he wants to be a gangster. He acting like he want to be hood and all this stuff. People are saying you don't get rich to revert to a hood lifestyle. You depend on a hood lifestyle to do things you got to do in the street to survive. And then when you make a bag of money, you can leave that stuff alone and leave those people alone. I don't know the relationship that he has with all these guys that they're trying to label as hoodlums or something. I don't know the relationship that he has with these people that he's bringing to the game, but it's like it's being put out there like NBA security or the other league needs to put a cap on what type of individuals you can bring to a game. But I don't think that's fair, because what you're doing is you're judging them by the way they look. You're assuming what they're into. You're judging them on their image. But if they're coming to the game, if they bought a ticket to the game, or Ja Morant got them tickets and they're sitting there watching the game, rooting on Ja, what's the problem? I don't get it. But, you know, again, you know, a lot of African American young men that's making a lot of money in sports, they all, you know, they always get that label put on them. He always gotta bring the homies. So what? You don't know what relationship those young men have with Ja. It could be his cousins for all you know. It could be his cousins. It could be some of his young uncles maybe in the family. You don't know. But we always like, you know, us in the media and us other pro armchair quarterbacks out there always like to make a big deal when you see a rich African-American athlete, superstar athlete like Ja Morant, and he got his posse with him. He got his entourage with him. Whatever you want to call it. Posse, entourage, his homeboys. You know how we talk in the hood, how we talk in the streets. I'm from the hood. I'm from the projects. So my whole point is, however you want to look at it, I got my homies with me, I got my posse with me, I got my crew with me. However you want to look at it, it doesn't mean that just because my crew look like they might live a certain lifestyle, that may not necessarily be the case. That may just be their look. And if they're not doing anything, breaking any laws, just watching the game, stay out of my business. And I'm quite sure that's probably how Ja Morant is looking at it this morning. My people are not doing anything. But I got to look up at the notes to kind of like see the whole details on why they're questioning these guys being with Ja Morant at the game. I know it was a big altercation with one of the media experts about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a big altercation courtside in Los Angeles, if I'm correct, between a certain media expert that we all know and Ja Morant teammates. So, but it had something to do with Ja Morant wasn't the one that was involved, but his teammates and the media expert had words. Then it turned into a big melee, and then I guess maybe Ja Morant and the media expert might have said something each other too, and then the dad got involved some kind of way, but the media expert and the father was able to smooth things over. But here recently, the media expert has said something about Ja Morant and the company that he's keeping courtside and the way that it's looking, saying Ja Morant is trying to have an image of gangster being hard. And the media expert is questioning, why do you need to do that when you're rich? You don't need to portray being in the streets and all that best stuff, having this street image when clearly that's who you are. But it is what it is, to each his own. I think that this certain media expert probably shouldn't even commented on it, because the father and that media expert had already made, you know, had patched that up and smoothed that over. Some of the stuff that we in media can't comment on. I know it's our job to entertain our listeners, but at the same time, some things we just can't comment on. Some things we just can't comment on, because if you comment on it, it's going to re-spark these issues. In men's college basketball, segueing over to some NCAA top 25 men's action. Yesterday we had number 9 Kansas defeated number 5 Texas. Number 9 Kansas 88,
Number 5, Texas, 80. Again, number 9, Kansas, over number 5, Texas, 88-80. And we had also number 19, Miami, and Duke. Number 19, Miami, 81, defeats Duke, 59. Number 19, Miami, 81, Duke, 59. Miami takes that one. So that's in top 25 men's college basketball action. Tonight, who we got tonight playing? We got in the time for these games are going to be from 7:30 Eastern to 9 Eastern. 7:30 Eastern to 9 Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Pacific. That's the time block on and you have to just check the monitor and the sports media outlets for the actual times and the networks. So we got tonight number 10 Marquette squaring off against number 21 UConn in NCAA men's top 25 action. We got number 24 Rutgers squaring off against number 18 Indiana. We got number 22 North Carolina State going against number 8 Virginia. We got number 17 TCU going against number 12 Kansas State in NCAA men's action tonight. Let's go check on my women's scores. Women's scores. Tonight we're going to have number 16 Oklahoma against Baylor tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Number 16 Oklahoma against Baylor tonight in women's top 25 action. Let's go and see who played last night. Get my women's scores in. In women's scores last night, we had number 11 Virginia Tech defeated North Carolina, number 22 North Carolina State. So Virginia Tech ranked number 11, Virginia Tech 73, ranked number 22 North Carolina State 61. So again, Virginia Tech defeated North Carolina State 73-61. Didn't have much women's action last night. But anyway, and of course we know the Super Bowl is going to be Sunday for NFL. Super Bowl is Sunday. And let's see what we have in hockey. Let's go to my hockey scores from last night. Getting my hockey scores up here for you guys. All right, we had last night the Lightning lost to the Panthers. Panthers 7, Lightning 1. So the Panthers 7-1 over the Lightning. We had Islanders 2, Flyers 1. Islanders take that contest. Then we had the Flames lost to the Rangers. Rangers 5, Flames 4. Rangers 5, Flames 4. We had the Devils 5, the Canucks 4. Devils take that one, 5-4 over the Canucks. We had Dallas Stars 3, Anaheim Ducks 2. Dallas Stars 3, Anaheim Ducks 2. Dallas Stars take that one 3-2. We had the Coyote 3, the Wild 2. Coyote defeats the Wild 3-2. And that's what we had yesterday. Let's see who we got tonight. In NHL, what's our matchups looking like tonight? We got, and the block is going to be 4 p.m. Pacific to 5:30 p.m. 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, and 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. That's the block for all the games. You have to check for the exact times on your media outlets and across the monitor for exact times, but that's the block, and you have to check the media outlets for the networks. But anyway, tonight we'll have the Avalanche squaring off against the Penguins. Avalanche squaring off against the Penguins in NHL action, and in NHL action as well, we got the Sharks and the Lightning, Oilers and the Red Wings, the Krakens and the Islanders, Golden Knights and the Predators, Ducks and the Blackhawks. Again, we got the Ducks and the Blackhawks tonight, Golden Knights and the Predators tonight, Kraken and the Islanders tonight, Oilers and the Red Wings tonight, Sharks and the Lightning going at it tonight,
the Avalanche and the Penguins going at it tonight. So that's in Tuesday night NHL action. So we went over all of our NBA scores, NHL scores, NCAA men's and women's action scores. We went over all that. We went over the football. There's not much going on besides last night. I saw across the monitor that the NFL was doing their Super Bowl Fan Fest meet and greet last night. All the major players, all the starters were on the stand, you know, answering questions for the media. You know, how it is, the media coverage, media day, Super Bowl media day started last night. So I guess they'll be doing all of that. They'll be doing all of that moving forward for the leading up into the Super Bowl. So yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on there. You know, they got to get the media day in. Everybody want to know what's on Patrick Mahomes' mind. They want to know what's on all the major players' mind. So yeah, it's a lot going on. A lot going on. Again, the Super Bowl will be on this Sunday. Super Bowl will be this Sunday. So, you know, that's what's going down as far as football action. Not a whole lot going on in football because we're wrapping up the season. We're wrapping up the season. I think the Aaron Rodgers, he just won a golf pro-am. I don't know which golf tour it was, but he just looked like he just won a golf pro-am. So big ups for Aaron Rodgers in the golf world. I think they say he does a pretty good handicap. I think that's what they say. He has a good handicap in golf. All right. Anyway, that's all our scores and news and everything. Major League Baseball news. I don't have much. Just guess we'll be getting ready for opening day after March Madness. We'll be getting ready for gearing up for Major League Baseball opening day. This past weekend, we just had the Padres had their fan fest at Petco Park. That turned out, there was a real big turnout, real good event based on what the media experts were saying. So, yeah, that's all I got. That's all my scores. I think I covered everything else. If you'd like to call in and inform us about some other news in your sport, whether it be handball, racquetball, water polo, horse racing, dog racing, camel racing, boxing, whatever you want to call in to talk about, feel free to call in, area code 515-602-9687 to discuss with us. And we'll definitely bring you up on air, and you can bring us up to speed on things. But it is 9:06 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 56 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny here in San Diego, California. I'm going to take a quick coffee break, get off into some jazz music, and then we'll come back and talk about some spring football free agency. That's what we're going to talk about next to help all you NFL camp hopefuls 2023 that just played your last game in college and you're looking to get a camp opportunity because you're probably not on the draft board in most cases and you're looking for a free agent camp contract. I'm going to teach you how to attain that in my system, and we'll talk about that for the next hour when we get back, and then anything else that comes across the monitor. Before we go, they're saying across the monitor, the NBA trade deadline is going to be Thursday, as we all know. And for those of you just tuning in, our topic today is NBA trade deadline predictions, episode one. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include, but not limited to, episode topic, which is NBA trade deadline predictions. NFL Super Sunday, the Super Bowl, we went over that. NCAA men's and women's, NHL and MLB scores and breaking news, we went over that. So we pretty much covered everything that I wanted to cover on the show. We'll get back and talk about some stuff, some more stuff, and then just keep talking about what's coming across the monitor every day. So just saying, Dazen, NFL is doing a deal with Dazen Group to reach a deal for outside the U.S. So Dazen is going to be being an outside platform for NFL games to be aired outside of the United States. So the NFL is trying to have a global media platform through Dazen. That's exciting. The NFL is constantly trying to expand over the globe. Anyway,
We'll be back. We're going to take a quick music break, get a coffee break in, and the Late Night Dog will be back. Again, you're listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Let's go off into our music mix. Stand by. All right. Hello and welcome back to the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers of Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. Time on deck is 9:17 a.m., 58 degrees Fahrenheit, and sunny in San Diego, California. All right, we got our number one sports contributor, DC, on the line tonight, on the line this morning. Thanks for calling in, DC. I ain't going to hold you too long. I know you got a lot of stuff to do, but thank you for calling in. But I'm going to frame this first question up to you. I've been telling everybody that at the end of the day, I see breaking news, Kevin Durant saying, I want out of Brooklyn, just like he was in the offseason this summer. I see him saying at any point right now, I want out of Brooklyn. And I see his potential destinations are going to be the L.A. Clippers to join Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I see him joining as his number two option, going to the Phoenix Suns. They'll do a package to get Chris Paul out of there and send him to Brooklyn. And Kevin Durant can join Devin Booker and the last destination would be the Los Angeles Lakers, the L.A. Lakers, which just joined up with LeBron James, which is probably his least most desirable move, but it's a move that he needs to make to secure his legacy with one more chip outside of Golden State. So I'm going to let you go, sir. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead, talk to me.
First things first, and I was able to catch a little bit of some shows on ESPN this morning, and they were talking about the days of the athlete trying to control what franchises do to be over because of Kyrie's rants and antics. And there was arguments to both sides. Why do I bring this up? Because I think Kevin Durant is in the same scenario. While he's not a problem child like Kyrie, I think he's diminishing his legacy with this whole thing. You know, the if I was New Jersey, I wouldn't give him anything he wanted. And if he wanted to sit out and not play, then by all means do that. If I was New Jersey, I would not in any way entertain anything he'd want to do. I could care less. Why? Because that organization blew millions trying to solve what this dude wanted, right? Kevin Durant is Kyrie Irving even coming to the Nets was because of Kevin Durant. They didn't want Kyrie, and Durant said, "Well, if you don't take Kyrie, you don't get me," right? And so, and then when they were looking at Durant, like, "All right, check your boy," he didn't do it. And then on the other end of that, Harden left. That's why James Harden left, right? And now they're stuck with Ben Simmons, who's an absolute bum. He's, you know, they tried. Do you remember when Jalen Rose said he's robbing the league of money, and people tried to come at Jalen Rose like, "Oh, how could you say that about another player?" Well, it's true. The guy's getting all that much money. He's a bum. He's not doing nothing. He's wasting an opportunity. And here's the thing: if I was a kid in the G League trying to get to the NBA, I would be angry with guys like Ben Simmons. Because he's stopping me from making my money and showcasing my talent because he's taking a roster spot. And so I go back to your that's the premise of what you do, right? You help guys that want an opportunity to get in the league, and they might have to go through all these other leagues to get there, but you offer them an access to an opportunity, right? So what we're saying here is we got people that's got opportunities and that they're blowing it over Mickey Mouse stuff because I want to play with you, right? I think you asked me about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and I was like, yeah, they're not going to win no title, and they're not. Yeah, they got by the Knicks in overtime, but they're not going to win no title, right? They're not a championship team. Come on, let's be honest, right? So if you barely got by the Knicks in overtime, It took Nicholas Batum, 90-year-old Nicholas Batum, to hit a last-second three off a broken play. Right? Seriously, Nicholas Batum, come on, man. That dude was playing
Yes, I guess my man DC call dropped. It's bad weather on the East Coast. We'll give him a minute to see if he calls back in. But we'll give him a second. He should be calling us back. But with that being said, you know, he made some valid points. He's making some valid points here. When he calls back in, I got to come back to him and ask him about this whole thing with Joe Tsai. Hold on one second. I see DC. I got you back. You dropped there. But I heard that first argument. I'll let you get back to that. But at the same time, throw this in your hat too. Do you think Joe Tsai was wrong for the way he handled this Kyrie trade? Kyrie clearly wanted to go to LA. Do you think Joe Tsai was wrong, and why do you think he did it? Where he blocked that trade and said, I'm sending him anywhere but where he wants to go. And I made the statement yesterday about an old school slavery comment. They used to say, if you were in the Upper South, like where you're from in Maryland, if you're in the Upper South, and they say if you was a slave, they'll say, you know, you better act right so the master don't sell you down south. So I use the term, look, Kyrie Irving got sold down south by Joe Tsai. He got sold down south. And I think it was just for him letting him know, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. I'm going to sell you down south. Now, if you get to L.A., it's going to be from another farm. You'll make your way from that farm, but not from this one. So go ahead, sir. Thank you for calling back in. Go ahead. Check. DC, you there? Let me see if I can get you again. DC, you there? I'm hoping I ain't having no audio issues on my side. Look like all my stuff is up. I'm just trying to get you back on. But anyway, go ahead and unmute your mic. I got you in queue. And we'll see. What I'll try to do anyway, what I'll try to do is hang you up and have you call back in. Yeah, that was my man DC. I'm trying to get his thoughts on this Joe Tsai, the way he handled this NBA trade and everything. But DC will call me back. He probably just on the East Coast, they're having a lot of bad weather. Hopefully the bad weather ain't affecting his phone. Go ahead, DC.
My apologies. I lost connection. And like I said, I don't know where I left off, but yes, I don't think Durant is going to if I was the Nets, I would make Durant live out his contract. And his legacy is severely going to be affected if he tries to force his way out this season, absolutely, or next.
Let me ask you this. I made the statement yesterday about being sold down south. That's an old slave statement. Like if you was a slave in the upper south, which is Maryland, and you act up, the other slaves would tell the also the other slaves, they have a conversation and say, don't act up because you might get sold down south. I liken the attitude of Joe Tsai to selling Kyrie Irving down south. Joe Tsai had the option to sign to make a deal. The Lakers offered Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka offered a deal, a nice package, two first-round picks, and who else? And Russell Westbrook for Kyrie. Why did Joe Tsai block that deal to make the statement and say, I'll send Kyrie anywhere but L.A.? And he sold Kyrie Irving down south. Talk to me.
I love that. I love that metaphor, and you're right. And here's the reason: because he's a billionaire, and to billionaires, it's about principle. See, you know, Kyrie might be a millionaire, but he's not a billionaire, and he's trying to play like he got the leverage of a billionaire, and he does not. Right? Let's be honest. The NBA is just like the NFL. The league owners control the commissioner. And in the end, the brand is more important than any individual player. Remember when they punished Kyrie? See, Kyrie act all big and bad, but notice he did what they said when they attacked his wallet, right?
Yeah.
Because his dollars ain't as long as those owners, right? And you and I know if the NBA don't want you no more, they just as a collective, nobody will offer you a contract.
Right, you're right.
And so,
was Joe Tsai being petty? Why didn't he take the deal?
Because
the Lakers offered.
Because Kyrie cost him millions, and the last thing he wanted was, you know, to let Kyrie screw him over financially, and then he go to another team and add to his legacy with another ring. So he said, no, I'm going to send you to Dallas, which is the rival of the Lakers, right? And I'm going to put you in a position where I know you're not going to want a ring, right, and make you look even worse. Now, here's the funny part about it. How many draft picks did he get from Dallas?
None. I think he just got three bodies.
No, the pick was two players and some draft picks. There were some draft picks in that deal.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
So second round pick. Right?
So I'm gonna take a look at it again. But yeah, so the point is I believe that Dallas gave up three picks. Yeah, Dallas gave up the 2029 first round pick, the 2027 second round pick, and the 2029 second round pick. So Dallas gave up three picks for Kyrie plus two players.
Two good players, right?
Yeah. Spencer Dinwiddie is a good guard, solid player, and Dorian Finney-Smith is a young player with a lot of potential. They gave up Markieff Morris, who's an old veteran, right? So they didn't lose nothing. So see what I mean? So the Nets made out. They got two young players plus three picks. And they dumped that clown salary, right? So they came out winning a chicken dinner, right?
Well, let me throw this out there. Mark Cuban, being a smart, savvy owner, you know he's on Shark Tank and he make all kind of deals. That's what he do. Do you think that if Kyrie comes in and balls out the rest of the season, get some I see the Nuggets and the Mavericks being in the Western Conference championship. That's what I see. That's just my prediction. You heard it here first. Do you think if he acts right in Dallas, does he convince Mark Cuban to trade him to L.A., or does he convince Mark Cuban to give him the extended contract that he wants? Or is Mark Cuban going to say, no, I still don't trust you. I need another year. I need another season. What do you think?
So I believe Kyrie is a free agent at the end of the season. I think that's why he wanted an extension from the Nets, and they wouldn't offer it. So I say that to say that Kyrie is basically a rental in Dallas. So if they don't win the title, then, you know, he's going to be a free agent. And now the argument is, do Dallas re-sign him or extend his current contract to keep him in Dallas, or do they just let him walk in free agency, right?
Okay, you play Mark Cuban. You play Mark Cuban for me. What do you do?
Unless we get to the finals, I'm letting them walk.
Because if you sign them again, you're going to take a big hit on the cap. Is that why?
No, because I'm not going to sign a 31-year-old point guard to a 4 or 5 year deal, because he's never going to see the end of that contract.
That's just like why Phoenix is trying to get rid of Chris Paul. Same type of situation, right?
Yeah, and John Wall in Houston, right? Like, who wants you know, let's be honest, bro. Like, let's be real. Who got better talent? A 33-year-old dude or a 23-year-old dude? Who's going to be quicker? Whose handles is going to be tighter? Who's going to be more durable, right? When you're 32, you're going to have hamstring problems, sore ankles, calves, right? You're going to be limited. When you're 22, man, you can run and jump, and you can jump out the gym, and you can do all kinds because you're 22. So who's a better investment, right? A 33-year-old veteran already won a ring and already made millions and probably make more than a coach. So at the end of the day, he's not going to care what the coach do. He on a guaranteed contract. Or a 23-year-old who's trying to make his mark and get to that bag and get to that ring.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, man. This whole thing, and again, for those of you just tuning in, you're tuning in to the Stokers and Men Radio Show. We got our number one guest sports contributor, DC, on the air with us, DC out of Maryland, and we're talking NBA trade deadline predictions. This whole thing with the way this trade deadline is set up, the league is set up around all-stars. I don't even really like to look at the NBA like, okay, this is my favorite team. Everything is just like stars, star-driven league. Now, you came on the show saying that they're trying to, the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, they're trying to set up something in the union to where these star athletes can't have the power to just force these trades. How do they make this happen?
Thing is that the NBA knows, these owners know that fans like the personality of the players, right? And so they know that you're going to come to the arena, you're going to buy the jersey, you're going to come to see that star player. The NBA learned early, and I'm going to take you back. The NBA learned early with Magic and Bird how much the personality of the players make the league. Remember, that you could argue that there was people just as talented prior to Magic and Bird in the league before Magic and Bird. That's just as talented as guys right now. You could argue that, right? But here's the issue. When the NBA marketed Magic, the smile, the pizzazz, the charisma, and Bird was the exact opposite, right? The hardworking, guy from French Lick, Indiana. And no one talked about race, but we knew that race was also a part of the market, right? And so, and Bird and Magic met in the finals, and it was always Bird and Magic, and the next, Jordan and all these guys. And so the point is that the NBA know that stars bring money. Stars will bring the moms to the stadium with their little ones, right? If a mom of two boys and mommy, I got to go see, LeBron. She's going to buy tickets to that NBA game so her kids can see LeBron. And they're going to get a jersey. And they're going to get, a LeBron sweatband and all that kind of stuff, right? So the point is the NBA knows that that brings in revenue. So the stars of the league are always going to have some say-so. But the owners are going to start squashing some of this. They're probably going to make some of their contracts. They're probably going to start tightening up their contracts. And remember, that's what they wanted to do with Kyrie. They wanted to tighten up his contract. And he was like, he didn't want to appeal to those terms, right? But they were trying to hold him accountable, right? And that's what I'm getting to. This the Kyrie Irvings of the world that's messing it up for everybody else. And he's thinking that he's going to continue to get support from the players. No, he ain't.
I don't understand. What the difference, my understanding of the guaranteed contract in the NBA versus the NFL. I'm gonna give you a scenario. You tell me, am I right? In the NFL, the only thing that's guaranteed is their sign-on bonus. And I learned that in my studies. That's the only thing that they're guaranteed is their sign-on bonus. Their weekly game check over a period of time can be renegotiated at any time.
they can restructure that part. The bonus money, that's guaranteed. Anything outside of the bonus money can be restructured. However, in the NBA, they don't get a big signing bonus. They don't get their signing bonus is garbage, but their contract over time is guaranteed. Why don't the CBA change over to like a more of an NFL format, in your opinion, so the owners can protect their investment? Because right now, a player could just, like right now, I expect Kevin Durant to pull an AD when he was in New Orleans. I'm just not available. I can't play. Or Kawhi Leonard type of thing. Same thing. These players can do that at will. And the owners are just basically losing leverage. But go ahead.
So you're right. That was the strike that when the Knicks played the Spurs in the finals that year. Now was it 99, 98? That was that NBA finals. Remember that season was only 50 games because the players went on strike. The players went on strike, and that's when they got guaranteed deals. Right? The NBA, the owners realized, okay, we got to give them guaranteed deals or else we're not going to make any money. If they refuse to come out on the court, we're losing all the stars. We're losing the moms with the two kids that want to come see little, you know, the NBA player play. So the owners gave in. And when they gave in on that strike, that changed the NBA after that. That was the thing. The NFL tried to go on strike. They're not financially astute enough, so their players couldn't hold out long enough. The NBA players held out longer. Right? So that's the thing, right? The NFL, when they tried to go on strike, the players caved. The NBA, those players didn't cave. Right? Let me ask you a question. Do you remember an NBA player named Elvin Hayes? He was known as the Big E.
I remember.
Right. But guess what? At one point, he was the best player in the NBA. Elvin Hayes right now is ranked number 11 for scoring in the NBA. All-time NBA score. He's ranked number 11. Now, let's talk about who's above him. He's number 11. Let's talk about who's above him. Moses Malone, Carmelo, Shaq, Wilt Chamberlain, Dirk Nowitzki, Jordan, Kobe, Karl Malone, LeBron James, and, of course, Kareem. See what I mean? I'm saying that arguably the best player in the NBA at one point for a long time was a black dude that 90% of the average fans never heard of. But all the people I named above him, you've heard of. Karl Malone, we called him the mailman, right? Everybody you've heard of. Why? Because the NBA is now a star-driven league. So, yeah, you're going to have that. You're going to have – the stars are going to have some talent, some pull, because the everyday common fan is going to know them. Only the true fanatics like yourself is going to have heard of guys that that was just good ballers, right?
Yeah. You know, what do you think about this thing in the media with Ja Morant? You know, I heard something about, and I say this, it's Black History Month, so it's a social topic I'm going to bring up. What do you think about the stigma when a young black athlete making a lot of money, he comes to the game, and this isn't every sport except for baseball, because baseball got its own set of unwritten rules. But you talking about basketball and football mainly, young black man, a lot of talent, superstar, comes in with his what we call your crew, your posse, your homies. What's the big thing that's going on now? They're saying that the NBA needs to put a clause out there the way you can't do this. Because I'm like, if a guy's bringing his buddies from the hood to the game and they're just watching the game, what's the harm in that? Just on the based on the way that they look, or they might look like a drug dealer, look like a gangster. Looks are looks. It could be the man's cousins. It could be people that looked out for him back in the day, protecting him. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, I like the fact that Ja Morant is being vetted. You say being vetted. Yeah. See, Ja Morant is trying to become a superstar in the NBA. And before the NBA, the marketing of the NBA will put themselves behind you, you got to be vetted, right? You got to be good for the middle America mom to want to, again, to want to spend $400 to bring her three children, her two children, and herself to a game, right? You have to be vetted if you want the commercials. Let me ask you this. Tell me, give me a verse of the Be Like Mike commercial.
Like Mike. I like to be like Mike. That's all I can
right.
remember.
See my point? See my point? You're almost 50 years old. Michael Jordan ain't played in 20 years, and you still remember the jingle to the commercial. The NBA got behind Michael Jordan and skyrocketed him to stardom in the world, right? And Ja Morant wants that same sort of treatment. So, yeah, they're going to vet who you're around. Michael Jordan might have cousins and all that too, but he didn't bring his posse to the game. And if he did, he put them in his luxury box, right? So they weren't on a court side where the camera could screen on them, and they're not there to get into arguments and cuss out fans and be unruly. You feel me?
Right.
Right. Remember this one? NBA action is fantastic. You remember that? That Magic and Joy and Larry Bird and all them guys, right? See what I mean? I'm saying if you want the media and the pool and the rocket, the superstardom, you need to be vetted. So Ja Morant needs to go through this. He needs to clean up his image so he can be vetted and then made to be a superstar.
So it's the face of the league situation, what you're saying? If you want to be
Absolutely.
A face of the league, you have
Absolutely.
To be qualified.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because let's be honest. Steph Curry, right? He's got Subway commercials. He's on the CarMax, right? But look how he was vetted. His dad was an NBA player. His dad's still an announcer. His mom is clean. Even their little thing about divorcing and all that was quickly shut down in the media, right? Quickly shut down. His brother is a player. And he's clean cut, right? Why? Because if you're going to be the face of the league, you gotta meet people from all backgrounds and be middle of the road. Right. LeBron's clean. He still got his crew he hang with from high school. Everybody know it. You don't see no issues with LeBron.
But they all nerds.
Still, LeBron is super clean cut, dude. Right?
Well, you know, he had the incident out there with his mom, but he hair up and shut that up. Mom was doing something, I guess, dating a vet player or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The league, man, let me tell you something. It's too much. It's billions of dollars. The owners, the teams, the marketing, the sponsorship, ABC. You know, Disney owns ESPN and ABC. So if Walt Disney is going to show NBA games, it's got to be family friendly. Right?
Yeah.
There's too many sponsors that pay for that NBA logo and express rights to represent these teams. These players got to be clean cut, and that's what they want.
Man, let me segue over to the NFL. Sort of NFL and NBA with this Kyrie Irving trade, and I seen Michael Irvin on the monitor, you know, and I don't like to announce names, but on my show, but Michael Irvin, who's an avid Cowboy, Hall of Fame Cowboy, with the trade of Kyrie Irving going to join the Mavericks and being with Luka Doncic, it sort of seemed like Dallas being put out of the playoff contention, it sort of seemed like it gave the city of Dallas, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, new life. Like, okay, Jerry didn't get it done, but maybe Mark can get it done. Does this kind of like put the Mavericks on the same
playing field and the two owners, Cuban and Jones, on the same level now? Does this make up for the epic fail for the Cowboys by Kyrie Irving coming down there?
No. I see this. Jerry Jones is iconic. Mark Cuban's iconic in the NBA, but he doesn't have the power or reach that Jerry Jones has. Jerry Jones has legacy behind him. Mark Cuban has got to do a little bit more. He's got to win a little bit more titles, too, because Mark Cuban's only got one, whereas Jerry Jones got more than one. So, no, I don't think they're on the same level. But what it shows is the willingness to win. And that's what I appreciate. I being accountable and trying to win. And if winning is your issue and you want to make moves and risks to try to win, I love it. You know, I applaud Mark Cuban for Kyrie Irving's got problems off the field, but he is very talented. I mean, we cannot run from that. I think it's not going to be smart to have two point guards there, but the way they run their offense, it could work. You know, Kyrie's kind of an off-the-ball shooter, so I think that helps. I think he'll give Luka a break. I think they'll be able to sit Luka down, and then Kyrie can run everything and then give him some rest and then sit Kyrie down and bring Luka in, and they still got firepower, right? So. I think it's smart in a lot of ways, but do I see them winning a title? No, they're not complete enough.
Last thing, and I'll let you get out of here. You guys, Knicks playing Magic tonight. You'll have a match of a Banchero against Julius Randle. How does that turn out? What moves do you see you guys making? This is NBA trade deadline prediction episode one. What are you predicting by 3 p.m. on Thursday? What moves have y'all made? Go ahead.
Man, I wish we would trade Julius Randle, but they're not gonna. I would love to get rid of that guy, but they're not going to. I do see a possibility of Cam Reddish and Fournier being traded, but I don't want them to trade either one of those guys. I just want them to trade Randle. But I know they won't. And with that being said, I am excited about the trade deadline on Thursday. And I would like to book my calendar to try to appear on your show afterwards. I hope my schedule can accommodate, because I do want to talk about the impact of these trades. But I am excited about what the Knicks are going to do. I do think they're going to make a move. I don't think they're going to sit on their hands. I think if anybody they trade, it'd be Derrick Rose. This for the trade deadline.
He ain't got no value. I mean, what they gonna get back for Derrick Rose at that age?
Well, I'd give up a second. I'd get a second round pick for him. If you're a team that's a fringe playoff team, and you need a guard to help you out, a veteran guard with experience that can still ball. For example, the Clippers, then you would want Derrick Rose. If you're the Lakers, you'd want Derrick Rose. He could spell Westbrook. He's a better shooter than Westbrook. He's a great team guy. I know if I was the Clippers, I'd take him.
And I'm going to ask you a Super Bowl prediction, but before I ask you the Super Bowl prediction and we get out of here, but before I ask you your Super Bowl prediction, I saw on the monitor that Lamar Jackson and his team, his advisors, are $100 million away from getting a deal done. They're a difference of $100 million. Did you hear that, and what are your thoughts?
Man, I want Lamar to be – I want the Ravens to sign Lamar and trade him. I want to trade him. And I want to keep Tyler Huntley. You know, Tyler Huntley made the Pro Bowl as a third-year quarterback who actually never started. Like, he's never been a starter in the league, and he made the Pro Bowl. Does he have limitations to his skill set? Yeah, I agree that he does. But the thing that supports him is he's never been a starter, and he's only got 3 years in the league. So I would love to see the Ravens trade Lamar, get 3 draft picks, and, you know, maybe 2 first-rounders and a 3rd round, and get rid of that dude and go with Tyler Huntley, pay him more than what he's making. Tyler Huntley's not even making $1 million a year. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback, and he doesn't even make $1 million a year. So if, no matter what you offer him as a Raven, you're still saving money.
Yeah. Right?
And you could sign a wide receivers and some corners and address your other needs instead of trying to give all this money to one guy who ain't done nothing. But when
MVP, what's the Super Bowl prediction?
I got Kansas City all the way. I don't see Philly. Philly doesn't have enough experience, and they haven't went through enough adversity to win. Despite Kansas City putting a guy on the IR over the last couple of days, I still think they'll win.
All right. Well, man, I thank you for coming on to the show, man. I know you had a lot to do today, but hopefully that weather ain't hitting y'all too bad out there. You know, I know it's the polar vortex going on. But hopefully you guys are staying warm and safe out there. And thank you for coming on to the show, man. We'll get you back on here soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Yes, yes, everybody. This is the Stokers and Mid Radio Show, and that was our number one sports contributor, DC, calling in, talking all things NBA and NFL. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Stokers and Mid Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And our subject for today was NBA trade deadline prediction, episode 1. We'll be back on here with episode 2 tomorrow, leading up into the NBA trade deadline on Thursday at 9. Thursday the 9th at 3 p.m. Eastern is the deadline, NBA trade deadline. The host will debate, the topic was, you know, NBA trade deadline prediction, episode 1. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to the topic, NBA trades and predictions, NFL Super Sunday, NCAA men's and women's action, NHL and MLB scores and breaking news. We covered all of that stuff. So we're going to go off into a little bit of music mix, take a quick 2-3 minute break, and then we'll come back and close out the show. Stand by. And we're back. This is Romero Ferrand, aka the Late Night Dog. It was live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to go ahead and get the code to go out, but before we go, I want to remind everybody that be love, not hate, be light, not dark. Remember, there's only one race, that's the human race. Pray for the people that's involved in this war, pray for the war in Ukraine stops. Pray for the Russian soldiers that don't want to be a part of it. Pray for the Ukrainian people that's affected by it. This war to end in Ukraine. We want to pray for the people in Argentina that or not Argentina, but people, I believe it was Turkey. People over there in Europe that had massive earthquake. We want to pray for those, for everybody is rescued with this crap. Pray for God to protect these people's mind, protect their heart, they're trapped under this rubble. Pray that they get rescued. We want to pray for the first responders, the first police people, and all this massive rubble over there. families that lost loved ones in the first place. Pray for the people on the East Coast that are going through this vortex and weather storm over on the East Coast and the Southeast. Pray for them as well. Remember, just shots for COVID-19 boost, mask on the crowded space, keep your hands sanitized. You know, because they still probably got monkeypox in New Zealand and it's still cold in Fiji. That being said, we're going to go ahead and close the show out. That black, pay it all. Thank you. That black, pay it all.